The providence of God is held in the Bible in two different categories. The overall general providence of God is for all of us, each one of us. And I want to emphasize in this lesson this morning about that. We are going to all leave here appreciating very much the fact that God is the author of these things. For our lives, we enjoy it every day and all the time. Sometimes every few moments of time we enjoy. But there are also conditional providence of God. The conditional providence of God, for example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, God said, he wanted him to say this and tell the people, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and pardon their iniquities and heal their lands. Healing of the land would be contingent, conditional, upon their hearing God, believing in him, pursuing a way away from their wicked ways. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. The idea of God's providence being conditional is clearly noted there in the Old Testament of the Bible. In the New Testament of the Bible, clearly noted that condition in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Notice that the condition is entering into the straight gate and walking a narrow way. It's a completely different way to do that, following what Jesus has said, than going in the broad gate and walking over the wide gate and going the broad way as we go to destruction in life. But that's another subject for another time, another occasion. What I want to talk about this morning is to be appreciative of the overall providence of God for every one of us. Jesus had begun the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and he talked about how that they would serve others and how they were not to serve just their brethren only. And he says, what do you more than others? And he says of his disciples that they should be people who recognize the needs of people, whether they're in the family or not in the family around us, as we go about life. Do good for them. But in the summation of that, he says, for the God of heaven sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. Amongst the other things that he notes there about this God of heaven who provides for people, he provides for them for the just or the unjust. The condition is not there. These things are available. When we look at nature itself, we see the ideals of life itself. What made it possible for you and for me to come to be? The providence of God involved that way. For it is noted in science and very much in the studies of it in Hebrews 12 and verse 9, a passage I used last month in our strategic study about God our Father. We all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God as the Father of our spirit, that we may live. Our spiritual being has a Father. We came from heaven itself, from God himself as the Creator. And the opportunity for you and me to live here as his child on this earth does not depend upon the condition. You and I find life on the unconditional work of God. It is the case that here is the Father of the flesh. We reverence them. The Father and Mother, of course, brought us about to be. Here we are. But the idea of having this to occur is God's great providential blessing. You and I are breathing right now. Sometimes we get to thinking that we can breathe a lot more than we do, and that we just hold our breath for a while. But the person who can expand his lungs and practice that for a time may can go a couple of minutes of time without taking a breath. Maybe find himself over a little short span of time, but that won't be very long. We generally speaking are breathing as we go. And who provides for us the strength that we have from the air that is going into our bodies? And for that fact, the terrible poison that is there, called commonly carbon dioxide, that is being exited out of our body as we breathe. Who made it possible for us to have that closeness to life and death at the very same time that we breathe in for life-giving sustenance? And that breathing out that brings about the things for the chlorophyll, for the tree leaves to be so green and so providing for you and me. You know, we think about God and think about His way. No wonder it would be that in Psalms 14, verses 1 and 2, God would say to David, "It is the fool that said in his heart, there is no God." He was speaking in the context there in Psalm 14 of the idea of the judgment, and that along with those providences of God that make it possible for us to exist, there is a responsibility to God that goes hand in hand with it. And being hand in hand with it, we need to be people who serve the Lord, and we become foolish people in the presence of God if we deny that He exists and there is no accountability to Him. There is accountability to God. But the fact that we have the physical blessings of life provided for you and me is an amazing thing. It's His providence. The foods that we eat today, we could take in and ingest into our body poisons. There are foods that are of themselves that which is poisonous to us. It would make us very, very sick, maybe even cause our loss of life, the poison. The idea of arsenic was learned in ancient times. There were those who sought to do assassinations by putting into the foods an extraordinary amount of this arsenic. And as a result, people would die. There were assassinations that were done. Murders that were committed. God held into accountability for those who murdered their fellow man. At the same time, that ability for you and me to ingest into our bodies healthy food is used in Titus 2 in reference to sound doctrine that we're to teach, healthy doctrine that we're to teach. We're to teach healthy things that help the soul of man to live and to do the righteous things of God. That's why when we get ourselves concerned with congregations and teachings that are done that are not healthy, not leading people toward God, but leading them away from God, not leading people to do God's will, but leading them to do their own will. That's a sad thing to happen. When the providence of God for you and me allows us to eat good food, who is it and what is it that allows us to digest it? As we know by modern science means, get into our body in such a way that every cell and every joint is supplied the strength that that gives. A woman who is expecting a child, we recognize, needs to have more folic acid in her system during that period of time, for sure. That makes a difference in the child's development of bone structure and mental state as well. Those children that are neglected in that regard of a balanced diet come forth to be abusive to themselves, hurt and harmed. They're not able to really communicate and do the work as would a common person in life. God decreed for you and me to have that kind of food that is healthy. Now, if we go in excess of that which is healthy, we obviously show that that's the case, and we find ourselves in trouble. If we deprive ourselves, we find ourselves in trouble. But it is a truth that we understand that in a time of hot and a time of sweat, there's a need for moisture to come into our system. There's a need for salts to come into our systems. But too much of the salts hurt us, harm us. Not enough of our salts bring about the cramps that we see on the ball fields during this time of year. The ideals are not there. The providence of God for the things that we eat, the things, the bread that we breathe, the common ways that we go out into our garden places and get the foods that are there and available for us. Do we stop to thank God that we can live? Do we stop and thank God for His overall providence? That whether we're serving Him or not serving Him, wouldn't we hate to be thinking that when I disobey God, I say what I ought not to say, that all of a sudden I don't have any rain to come on my fields. I don't have any sun to shine on my fields. God said that He provides. And as He provides overall for everybody, He hopes the people and teaches people in His Word to look up. And to James, in James 1 and verse 17, he sums it up by saying, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow that is cast by turning. This Father of lights provides for us every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. We get to ask Him, what kind of gifts are those gifts that come down from above? But obviously there are things that deal with strength and deal with the light and deal with the darkness and deal with the concepts that we've talked about. But more than that, there are some spiritual things that come from above. Only from above do we understand the real love that God has for mankind. Only from the things above to understand the peace that He is willing to provide. There's a different way in which you and I get about having peace with others. Proverbs 15 and 1 talks about having words that are grievous words that stir up anger. Well, that's different than choosing gentle words that bring about peace. But gentle words are the words that ought to be used. Not the words that stir up a fight. When we find ourselves looking at how we are in life and the overall blessings that come from God, like His great love for us and like His great peace that He's taught us about, and He told us that we ought to guard our lives. We ought to, in fact, referee our lives, Colossians 3:15, with this peace that He has sent to us. Refereeing our lives means that I take into consideration what I'm fixing to say, what I'm fixing to do with my foot or my hand, or if I'm in karate, my head and my whatever. You know, I'm fixing to think about what I'm fixing to do. A way of peace is maybe different than I'm going to slug somebody. This is going to be a different way of life that I'm going to have to pursue. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be put in jail. I'm going to be taken to court. I'm going to get given an opportunity to explain myself. And if the judge doesn't find mitigating circumstances, things that really justify my striking someone, I'm going to pay a fine at the least and maybe be incarcerated for a great period of time, away from others. To think about those things. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in that food. I don't want to be in that well, that cell. So I'll change my way of life. when I find the overall providence of God bringing about these things that bring about our physical betterment, and note that each time I look at how better I am because of good food in my body, and the excesses have done what hurt and harm comes to my body. When I thank God for the blessings of this way, I've got to look up. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. The love of God, the peace of God, the compassion for the needy. Our whole nation has been last week activated in regard to the care. This congregation was activated right off the bat. I was so thankful we were able to help people right there in Houston at the very beginning, at the get-go of things. As a result of the disaster relief brethren that were ready to go and ready to do, it was a wonderful time. When you see the kind of love that people have for others and the care that they give toward others, you get back into who decides what they'll give and when they'll give it. And that becomes the spiritual side of God. There's no way that we can separate, ultimately, the overall providential blessings of God and our personal responsibility to God as we live in those good things. I must make choices in my life. Would I choose to present somebody with poisons, as I've mentioned earlier, and take their life? Would I choose to give healthy food and healthy ways and good things to people and bring about peace and joy? Whatever it is in my life that I'm pursuing, the overall blessings of God, I must look up and be thankful for. And I can practice that way of life that he has said to spiritually be the person God would have me be. As I began this lesson, I talked about a couple of verses in the Old Testament and New Testament that talk about the conditional providence of God. These people back there during that day and time of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 is the idea that they were in trouble. If my people call by my name, will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Isaiah will say in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, that the heavens are higher than the earth. So are my ways, God says, higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So there is a spiritual way of life that God wants us all to follow. He's appointed the way in which governments live upon the earth. And there are those who set forth to harm others in a violent way, an abusive way. And in Romans chapter 13, vivid description is given of those that he says, bears not the sword in vain. Thou shalt do good and not be afraid of them. But in doing evil, thou shalt fear them, for they bear not the sword in vain. God intended that there be that kind of rule here upon this earth. When you find nations that are fighting against one another, the question is, who is there that is trying to harm us all? When war comes about to a nation to bring it to its knees, we pray God's blessings for our lives. We pray God's blessing for our opportunities. And we ask God to be with us all as we look up and deeply appreciate the overall providence for our lives. There are a lot of other things in life that you and I have from day to day that we have. The desk that's right here, the pulpit stand that we have here, it has a way to be put together that it'll fall apart just as soon as somebody leans on it. Or there's a way in which it can be put together, which it is braced within itself. And being braced within itself has a certain angle to it, a certain way of putting nails in it or pegs in it to hold it together in that way. There is put on outside, there is put on a type of shellac, a type of sealant that keeps this particular wood from decay, falling apart and breaking apart. And over a period of time to be a long, long usefulness to a congregation. Overall providence of God makes it possible. And should we not thank God for the building which we gather, the lights that we have, the opportunities to serve that we can do? And let us be spiritually thinking about the conditions of our lives. Remember Matthew 7, 13, 14. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in therein. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it.